So we're very happy to be here with all of you today. Everyone understands English, no problem? Okay, good. So today we're going to talk about religion. I understand that you're studying various religions, and that's very nice. But I would like to spend at least a part of our time here talking about the essence of what religion is and it in its pure essence. Because in different cultures and different times and places, whether it's Chinese, Buddhist, Christian, Hindu, this or that, we talk about religion in a certain way. But today we want to look at the essence of what religion is before you filter it through different cultural avenues. The pure essence of religion. This word religion, the English word, it comes from the Latin word religio. Ligi means link. Like in English we have the word link, something that connects two things together, like a chain. You see, there's links on a chain. So you can say re-link. So the real purpose of religion, the real meaning of religion, is to reconnect the individual self with the supreme self. Now the atheist will say there is no supreme self. But is that logical? You see, as human beings, we are meant to develop the power of thinking, isn't it? That's why we go to school. We want to learn how to think very deeply, very intelligently. So, with a little bit of thoughtfulness, we can understand that you can take any object. You can take a pine cone, for example. You see. Now, where does the pine cone come from? It comes from the pine tree. And where does the pine tree come from? It comes from the pine seed. You can take anything within this world, and you can see that it's caused by something that came before it. Then you can see that that thing is caused by something else that came before that. And if you go back until you finally come to that cause which did not have a cause, that is called, you can say, God. You see. The original cause that did not have a cause. Now you may wonder, how does this all relevant? We have a saying, what's in it for me? I mean, what's the purpose of all this discussion anyway? I just want to enjoy life, right? Have a good time, isn't it? You may wonder, why are we even discussing this? You're here because you have to. You have to go to school. But I'm not paid for this. Why am I talking about this? Why am I interested in this? The reason is that when the individual self, namely you or me, you see, when we learn how to relink with that original cause, that original source from which everything is coming, or you can say God. When we learn how to relink, what happens is you enjoy life on a higher level than you can even imagine. In this material world, how do we think we can enjoy life? Well, we can get some money, you know, we can get some friends, we can spend money to enjoy our senses. But what I'm here today to tell you about is through the process of relinking your individual self with the supreme self, you can expand your enjoyment by millions and billions of times. And wouldn't that be great if you could take your happiness and multiply it by millions and billions of times? Wouldn't that be worth learning about if you could do that? Just like if I told you one formula that you could take, if I told you today about one formula where you could take 1 euro and you could multiply that 1 euro to 1 billion euros. Would you be interested to hear how you could do that? I give you 1 euro, and I'll give you a secret formula how to turn your 1 euro into 1 billion euros. That'd be very interesting to know. So I am telling you today how you can do something even more powerful than turning 1 euro into 1 billion euros. And this is called religion. You may be surprised because usually we think, oh, religion, you know, you go to that church and, oh, God, you know, those little songs and the rituals and, you know, the sin and the book and, oh, religion, get out of here with your religion, you know. But you see, nowadays, the religious leaders don't even know what is religion. The so-called religious leaders do not even know what religion is anymore. We've become so much in the darkness. And you know that? Even though we're so advanced technology now, when it comes to actually to know what is the science of religion, it has become forgotten. Are you surprised to hear this? It has become forgotten. What is the actual science of religion? So we're here today to enlighten you. You are the future leaders of the world. Today's students are the future leaders of the world. You see, we old folks, we will die off. You youngsters, you will take over the world someday. So we want to give you the information so you can make a better world in the world, the mess that we have made of the world, you see. The present adults in the world, they've made a huge mess, isn't it? They've made a huge mess of the world. So you are the bright future hope of this world. We want to give you the information. We want to give you the knowledge so that you can make a wonderful world, a peaceful, happy world. And you may be surprised to know this, the actual science of religion, to understand perfectly the science of religion is the key to the future happiness of this world. Now, we do see within history that religion has been interpreted and practiced in different ways in different cultures. But any true religious system acknowledges the existence of the Supreme Being. Now you may say, well, I don't really know if there's a Supreme Being. I mean, come on, you know. How do we know there's a Supreme Being? That's faith. I mean, how can you really have faith in a Supreme Being, isn't it? Many people are atheists or agnostics. Do you expect me to believe there's a Supreme Being? Come on. You see? How many people here believe in a Supreme Being? Let's see a show of hands. One, two, three. That's nice. I'm going to give you a way that you can prove there's a Supreme Being. I'll give you an absolute proof so you can know scientifically there must be a Supreme Being. Here's the proof. Everybody in this room has a certain amount of wealth, you see. Somebody has 1 euro. Somebody has 1,000 euros. Everybody has a different amount of money to their name, isn't it? Some people have no euros at all, you see. Everybody has a different amount of wealth. Somewhere, there is a person who has more wealth than anyone else. And I can tell you, more than Bill Gates has also. Somewhere is a person who has more wealth than anyone else. Now in the Bhagavad Gita, which is the ancient scripture of India, which describes the science of God, that God consciousness or religion is actually a science. It is not a blind faith. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Sri Krishna, who is considered to be God by the Hindus, Lord Sri Krishna says, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. He says, I am the owner of all the wealth. So we can understand that since your amount of wealth, my amount of wealth, your amount of wealth, you see, they are all different. Somewhere there's a person who has more wealth than anyone else. That is the Supreme Being, you see. So who can deny? Somewhere there is a person who is more powerful, who is more famous. Somewhere there is that person. You understand my point? Does it make sense? Am I losing you? Am I losing you? You understand? Everyone has different degrees of power, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, wealth, and fame. Somewhere there is a person who has more power, more beauty, more renunciation, more knowledge, more wealth, and more fame than anyone. How can we say it's not true? There has to be such a person who is more opulent because no one is equal in their amount of opulence they possess. So that person who has more power, more beauty, more knowledge, more renunciation, more wealth, and more fame than anyone else. That's the Supreme Being. So then we can study to find out who is that Supreme Being. We can study the Chinese religion. We can study this religion, that religion. And we will find in the Bhagavad Gita, which is the holy book in India, that in this particular holy book, that Supreme Person himself is speaking to us directly. And he is saying, I'm the one who has all of it. I've got all the money. I've got all the power. I'm the one who actually controls everything. So that's Krishna. So anyway, I wanted to give you that introduction to what is actually religion. Now, what is the value of this? That we have to understand. I mean, everyone's thinking, you know, how can I enjoy it? But the real secret to enjoyment, to actually enjoying it every minute of your existence, is to understand the very reason why you exist. Does anybody have any idea why you exist? If I asked you, why do you exist? What would be your answer? Anyone have any idea? If I asked you, sir, why do you exist? What would be your answer? Would you have any idea why you exist? Yes. On the material level, that's true. On the material level, my mother and father wanted a child, so here I am, folks. You see, hello world, here I am. But according to all the scriptures of the world, you actually have an identity which pre-exists that body that you have. Did you know them? That is called the soul. Before your mommy and daddy wanted to have a child, you were already existing somewhere out there in existence. According to the laws of karma, you wanted those parents. They wanted you, and you also wanted them. So it was a match. You came together with them because you wanted such parents like that. You actually desired parents like that. So you got them. So the point is that even before you were born, you existed. Is that a surprising new information for you? That you existed even before you were born as a spiritual being? Did you all know that? Before you were born, you actually existed. Did you know that? That you, even before you were born, you existed? Is that surprising? Is that a surprise, new information for you to know that you existed before you were born? That's something new for you, or you already knew that? Huh? You didn't think of it that way? This is new information. You existed before you were born. And after the body dies, you will still exist. That is called what? The soul. You existed before your body came into being, and when your body is finished, you will still exist. So why does that spiritual being who exists before and after the existence of the body, why does that spiritual being exist? So this gentleman here has given a very nice answer as to why my body exists, you see, because my mother and father wanted to have a little baby, you see. But it does not answer the question why I, the eternal spiritual being, exist. That his intelligent answer does not cover that side of the issue. Why does the spiritual being exist? But I have a good answer for you. Just like your mother and father wanted to have a nice little baby boy or baby girl running around the house, you see, God is also a person. And he likes to have people also running around his house. Just like your parents want some little kids running around the house. God doesn't, he also likes to have many people running around. But his house is much bigger than your house, you see. His house is the whole universe. So he wants to fill up his house with many children. You see. He He wants to fill out his house with many children. You understand? You understand my point, or is your mind going somewhere else now? You understand my point? That just like your parents wanted to fill up their house with some little kitties running around, you see? So God, who is the original person, he wanted to fill up the universe with many, many children. Just like your parents wanted to have a loving relationship with you, you see? So God also, he is there in his spiritual world, and he wanted to fill it up with his children that he could have a loving relationship with. So that's why you exist. You exist for the purpose of having a loving relationship with God. Just like you exist, materially speaking, you exist to give pleasure to your parents, but in the highest sense, you exist to give pleasure to God. That's why you exist. But you think, wait a minute, who cares about giving pleasure to God? I just want to have pleasure. It's like now you two girls keep chit-chatting back and forth because you think that is more pleasurable than hearing what I'm speaking, isn't it? You think I can get more pleasure of sitting here and going shh than I can by hearing, isn't it? That's why you're doing it. It's a natural psychology. Everybody is thinking, how can I get the most pleasure? We are conditioned to think that these classes at school are boring and that we can get more pleasure by doing something else. But I can tell you this. The subject matter that I'm discussing today, the science of the absolute truth, the science of God, if you actually lay aside your chit-chat and seriously listen to what I'm saying and try to absorb it, this subject matter will turn you on to a much higher level of enjoyment than you have ever known in your whole existence. So it's worth your while to seriously and soberly hear each and every word that I'm speaking and absorb every single word and even take notes. It's very much worth your while. Because we are talking about the very reason that you actually exist as an eternal spiritual being. You exist for the purpose of giving pleasure to God. And as we were discussing, why should I care about giving pleasure to God? Why not just my pleasure? But here's the secret. Isn't it a fact that if we try to be happy alone, we cannot be happy? We always seek to be in the company of others so that by giving them happiness, we get happiness. When we can make other people happy, then we experience happiness. So that is true on the highest level with the original person, with God himself. If we can learn the art of how to give pleasure to that supreme person, which you can do 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in all times, all places, and all circumstances, if you learn this art of how to give pleasure to God, then you will be the happiest person in this world at every second, in all times, all places, and all circumstances. So this is the actual meaning and purpose of religion. It is a system whereby you can enjoy life beyond all the suffering of material existence. There are so many sufferings here, that's a fact. It's like recently in Madrid, you see. We never know when the terrorists may strike here in Helsinki, you see. And even if not, there's always traffic accidents, there's always cancer, heart disease, you see. If nothing else, old age will finally wither us away. You see, all our enjoyment we had as young people, as old people, our bodies will become full of pain and we'll become very afraid of death, you see. So this material existence has its enjoyment, no doubt. But it always comes along with so much suffering. But if you can learn how to be happy on the spiritual platform through the science of religio, relinking the individual consciousness with the supreme consciousness, then you will not be affected by any of the miseries of material existence. You'll always be supremely happy in all times, all places, and all circumstances. So this is why we are here. We wanted to give you this opportunity to, now that you're students of religion, we wanted you to understand that religion goes beyond, there is actually one religion in essence. And you can follow any religious pathway, the Chinese, as your teacher is telling you, Chinese, Hindu, Buddhist, Christian, Jewish, Sikh, Mohammedan, you can follow any religious path. And if you capture the actual essence of religion while following that path, which is to develop your loving relationship with that Supreme Person, then you will become supremely happy. So I come, even though I'm presenting teachings from the Hindu tradition, from the Indian religious tradition, we are not talking about one particular sect of religion. In India, the great sages of India understood the essence of religion. They were not trying to promote another type of religion. In the Vedic teachings, like the Bhagavad Gita, the Vedic literatures are coming from great enlightened spiritual masters. They were not presenting another type of religion by their teachings. They were presenting the pure essence of what is religion. So, does anyone have any questions? I have a little open secret for you. And that is that it's much easier, whoever gets asked the question, they are under pressure, you see. So if you ask me the question, it's much easier. But if you don't have questions for me, then I can ask. I may start asking you questions. I will choose one of you and ask you a question. So it will be much easier for you if you put me in the awkward position by asking me the question than if I start asking you the question. So that's some impetus. If somebody would like to ask a question, it'll save you all from being interrogated. You see, because I will start asking you questions, very, very revealing questions about who you are and why you exist. You see, if you'd rather not be put under the torchlight, under the microscope, then you ask me questions. Otherwise, I will begin to ask you questions to help you. Yes. Very, very nice question. Well, as a student, just like I was a student as you are now, my father told me, son, you do very nice in school, then you go to college, and in college you'll be a very happy person. So I did that. I did very well, worked hard in my studies, made good grades. I was a leader in my school. And then when I got to college, now all of a sudden I'm on my own. I have to, you know, I'm no longer living at home. I have to earn my own living, make my own life for myself now. I'm not under my parents' direct control anymore. And I realized I didn't even know what life, the meaning of purpose of, I had no idea what the purpose of life was. Now most people, they're simply thinking, if I can just make money, then I will be happy. You know, go into some field, you know, where I can make some good money. But somehow or other, I didn't feel that way. I said, what is the use of earning money if all I'm going to do is get old and die? What's the point of working so hard, going to college, and working hard, getting this degree, getting this career? The whole thing is just going to unfold eventually and I have to, you know, just die. What's the point? It didn't make sense. So when I got to college, I simply wanted to know, what is the purpose of my life? Why do I exist? You see? But nobody was there to tell me. You see, you were fortunate because I'm here telling you. I spent 33 years finding out what is the actual meaning of existence. Actually, more than that. I mean, I started 65, you could say, almost 40 years. I spent almost 40 years investigating, finding out what is the meaning of existence. So you can take advantage. You see, you can avoid all the agony that I went through trying to figure it out just by taking it from me. You see, if you just can take it from me that you're an eternal spiritual being, that you're part and parcel of God, and the purpose of your existence is to love that Supreme Being. If you can take it from me right now today, you will save so many years of agony of trying to figure out who you are and why you exist. But anyway, I didn't have anybody like me to come to my high school class and tell me why. So I was on my own to try to figure it out. It took me years and years of reading books, talking to people, trying to, thinking about it, you know. But finally, I was reading some books on Eastern, Indian, you know, Indian yogis, these great personalities in India, who through practicing disciplines were able to achieve a state beyond all anxiety. It's called enlightenment. Or they call it samadhi. It is called spiritual enlightenment. I read about these great personalities in India who had achieved a state of consciousness totally beyond any suffering. It's a state of absolute total bliss, you see, without any drugs, without any alcohol, nothing artificial. Within their heart, they had turned on some higher consciousness. So when I read about that, I said, I want to achieve that. So I was searching for a teacher who could guide me how to do that. I went here, I went there, I tried so many teachers who said, yes, you do this, and you will achieve that enlightened state of consciousness. And nothing worked. I felt cheated again and again and again. But finally I found a teacher, this great saintly man here, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I finally found a teacher who taught me a technique which actually did, in fact, turn on the enlightened state of consciousness within the heart to give me that spiritual existence of unlimited happiness. And that process is very simple. And it's something that you can do. It's a process of chanting a mantra or a sound vibration which delivers the consciousness. That sound vibration is very nice. It goes like this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'll say it again. In fact, you can write this down in your notebooks, and I will write it on the board for you. This is worth more than billions of dollars. That's it. If you want to achieve the ultimate success in your life, keep this mantra. Don't lose it. And whenever you have some time, you just meditate using this mantra. Everybody knows about meditation. This is the most powerful meditation that exists anywhere in the universe. If you focus on this vibration, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, like that. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you just focus on this vibration, you will achieve a whole unlimited universe of happiness within you will all of a sudden open up. Actually, it gradually opens like the sun rising in the morning. You know, in the morning, the dawn comes in little by little. It gradually comes more and more. If you chant these names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Gradually, your entire world will become luminous. Wherever you go, your whole perception of reality will become illuminated, full of bliss, full of knowledge, and free of anxiety. So you can just try it. You can make experiment. And how many of you have email accounts? Oh, very good. And one more thing. I have an e-course. It's like you have a course here in the school. You have so many courses. I have a free e-course with no homework. And you can sign up for my free e-course at www.backtohome.com. It's a very hot e-course. We have thousands of people signed up all over the world, and more people are joining every day from all over the world. So you can get on the free e-course, and that way, if you were too shy to ask a question in front of all of your classmates, you can ask me personally via email, and I'll answer you. I give personal answers to all of my e-students if you have any questions. And I guarantee you that the result you'll get from taking my e-course is more valuable than earning a PhD from Cambridge University or Harvard or Oxford. The results you will get from my course is more valuable than any degree you can earn anywhere in this whole material world. And it's free. So why not sign up for the free e-course, www.backtohome.com. You'll love it. And you can always click the remove button if you don't like it and be deleted from the course with one click of your mouse. You can try it, and if you don't like it, just click the remove button at the bottom of each lesson and you're gone. So do you have any more questions? That was a very nice question. I appreciate his question very much. I had a hunch he had a question because his hand was kind of like going like this. Even before he asked the question, I could see his hand moving slightly. I could see he was inclined to ask the question. And I appreciate very much he came out of the shell and asked it. That's very good. So who else is inclined to ask a question, but not really ready to ask it yet? Looking for some hands that are slightly moving there. Or were you just scratching your nose? Actually, you're very nice, bright-faced young people. So happy to be here with you all, you see. Very nice, bright-faced young people. Very nice to see you all. And it's a nice way to begin my day, to see nice, bright-faced young people like you all. But if you take to this Krishna consciousness, this chanting, you will always remain bright-faced, even when you're an old person. You will not use the luster of youth. You will keep that luster. Many people, when they see me, they think I'm much younger than I actually am. And it's because I chant Hare Krishna. It gives me that feeling of being a young person, even though my body is getting old. You see, still if you chant Hare Krishna every day, you will never grow old. Your body may get old, but you will never lose the joy of youthfulness if you chant Hare Krishna. You keep your youthfulness throughout your whole life. You ever see old people walking around? Isn't it? You think, I never be like them. But you know what? Time and tide wait for no man. Every minute we're moving towards old age. At every second, with every breath, we're getting closer to old age. So if you don't want to be one of these old people all morose, you know, then chant Hare Krishna. And you'll always, yes.
So what does it mean?
Okay, the actual literal meaning of this mantra, Hare, means the energy of God. Krishna means the supreme, all-attractive Lord. God is all-attractive because everything attractive that exists is part of God. And then Rama means supreme enjoyer. So what you're doing when you're chanting Hare Krishna, you're praying to the Lord through His energy and also to Him directly as the supreme attractive one and the supreme enjoyer. Please engage me in serving you. You're engaging, you're begging to be engaged in the service of the Supreme Being and His energy. That's what you're doing when you're chanting Hare Krishna. Right now, we are serving so many temporary things. But if you can learn to serve the Supreme, then that you will derive unlimited pleasure from that. We may serve so many objects of temporary service in this world. I may serve my family, but my family may be dead and gone someday. Just like my family, they're all dead and gone. Only my brother is left. So if my happiness was based on serving my family members, they're all practically all dead and gone now. And where would my happiness be now, you see? So if you can base your happiness on serving God, then nothing can ever take your happiness away, because God will never die. And your relationship with God will never end. You see, that is eternal. So this is a very nice thing. You serve your parents nicely, you serve your teacher nicely, do your assignments, do everything very nicely on one track. But the other track is you develop your relationship with the Supreme Being through chanting His names. This is religion. This is the real meaning of religion. Religion is meant to be done along with your material activities. Two rails on the track. So like the metro here, very nice train. I'm very impressed with your metro. It runs on two tracks. So your life is meant to run on two tracks. You have your duties, do your studies nicely, please your parents, please your friends, you see, take good care of your health. But on the other track, you have to develop your relationship with the Supreme Being. So both tracks are there. Next question. You have no questions? We all have questions. Trouble is, we're asking the wrong questions, you know. Well, everyone has questions, but we always ask the wrong questions. That's the problem. Yeah.
Is that like the name, like in Christianity, we pray? So is that like the meaning?
Yes, it's this the closest thing you will find to the closest connection you would find between this and the biblical explanation. And Lord Jesus says, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Remember that prayer? So this is the same sort of prayer. You practice Christianity at home? It's a little bit, like once a year or something?
Yeah.
So in the Christian tradition, Lord Jesus Christ is very famous. Right before he was crucified, you know, nailed to the cross, the night before he said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. In other words, I'm just your servant. You engage me however you like. So this is the same mood of Lord Jesus when he was praying to his Heavenly Father, that not my will, but thy will be done. So in this sense, you can see that religion is actually one. Whether you have an Indian monk chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, or you have a pious Christian saying, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. You see, it is the same mood of pure devotion to the Supreme Being. So that is a common thread of any genuine religious tradition, to be that mood of total submission to the will of God. Whether you call him Allah or Krishna or Jehovah, that doesn't matter, because God has unlimited names. But the essence of religion is to complete submission to the will of God. As a Christian, a Hindu, it doesn't matter what path you're on, but you cannot miss the essence, which is complete submission to the will of God. You understand? So we have, about 5 more minutes? Question. Oh, here was a question.
Why would you choose Hinduism
instead of, like, Buddhism? Okay. Now, of course, in one sense, I've explained to you that So you could say, why am I chanting Hare Krishna instead of chanting, you know, Allah Akbar, for example, or Hallelujah, Hallelujah. When you go to, how many different cars, like here in Helsinki, when you want to buy a car, there are many different brands available. I know in the U.S. there's so many brands available. I don't even have a count of them. So everyone wants, if someone's going to buy a car, of course here many people take the metro, but in U.S., like where we live, there is no, everyone has car. So when you go to pick a car, you'll find whatever car best suits your needs. So I, in my own practice, my own search for a means of reconnecting myself with God, I found that this Hare Krishna was the most powerful, effective means. Now, even though I was raised as a Christian, I did not convert from being a Christian to being a Hindu. You see? Because in the Hindu tradition, or the Vedic, it is called Vedic tradition, V-E-D-I-C. We do not have a sectarian conception of religion. For us, there's only one religion, and that's to love God. And anyone who loves God, whether they're a Christian, a Hindu, a Buddhist, a Muslim, or whatever, they are a true religious person. You see, we don't divide religion in different religions, you see. Our understanding of religion is there is no such thing as different religions. That religion is actually one, to love God. Just like how many suns are there in the sky? Now again, you're going into this thing. You can just control yourself. How many, maybe you can sit over here. There's no reason to, you can chat after the class. So there are so many religions. That we call that religion with a small r. But there is one religion with a capital R. How many suns are there in the sky? There's only one, but yet in Finnish language you call it something. In Swedish language we call it something. In English language we call it something. In Hindi language, every language we have a different name for that one sun, but there's still only one sun. So religion is actually one, to love God. But we have subdivided according to different cultures. We call it Hindu religion, Christian religion. But actually religion is only one. So it's not that I converted from being a Christian to being a Hindu. No. Actually, Lord Jesus, through his prayer, "Father, not my will, but thy will be done," inspired me to chant Hare Krishna. So actually, if you become a true follower of any religious path, then you are the true follower of every religious path. If you become a perfect lover of God, then you are the best Hindu, the best Christian, the best Jew, the best Sikh, the best Muslim, the best Buddhist, everything. You understand? If you become a true lover of God, then you become the perfect follower of all religions, because religion is actually only one, to love God. That was a very nice question. Any, how much, we finished now? So we thank you all very much, and please take this month. Please sign up for the course. It's free, and you'll get nice things in your email box regularly, too. Nice transcendental nectar in your e-box regularly that will absolutely ignite your life with transcendental bliss. And it's free. You can't lose. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.